There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This is Internet Marketing.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 153 of Internet Marketing. As usual, I am joined by
Kelvin Newman.
And the show is brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com.
Yes.
And today, Kelvin, it is... Diddle-diddle drum roll. Oh, I can't wait. Beginner's Guide to Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, the plan is for the next three episodes, what I'm going to do is take three of the most popular social networks and do a real sort of quick crash course, answer some of the most common questions that people have about using those social networks. So if you're kind of a super duper experienced Twitter user, there perhaps might be one or two tools you can take away there. But I was quite conscious that we very frequently talk about, yeah, just kind of do some Facebook marketing. And we very rarely break down in terms of the actual details. So today I'm going to be talking about Twitter, and the next episode I'm going to be talking about Facebook, and coming up we will finish off with LinkedIn there. So they're the three kind of main social networks I'm going to talk about. Now, before I start, it's kind of worth noting the overall kind of strategy you need to have behind these things. So don't just kind of, you know, you need a social strategy as much as kind of a means of using the tools. And but I'll take that as a given that you kind of want to engage with your customers and all of that type
you know,
of thing.
I'm really glad that you're doing, because these are more of a sort of an overview of the best way of using them, really, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. So,
and I haven't heard one of those for ages for the three main ones, you know, Twitter, Facebook and LinkedIn.
Yeah, so that's what I'm hoping really we'll be able to do there, is kind of dive down in terms of some of the specific detail of how you would use Twitter. What I'm not going to talk about here is why you'd want to have a social media strategy,
sure, yeah.
Or what to do should you be using them for, you know, customer service or marketing or although those kind of more complex issues, which I think tend to be more specific to individual organizations. So I'll kind of stick to Twitter for this episode.
This feels like a bit of a brain dump.
Yeah, it's kind of headed in that direction.
I'll interject where I can, Kelvin,
Well, I'll try and sound intelligent as well on that front. Your super duper new microphones help on that front. Do I sound
yes, hope you like the new sound, folks. Better microphones.
Ah, so yes, you can still hear the seagulls, but that's bright and you can't get away from that. Yeah, because we keep a pet seagull in the office just so it kind of sounds like we're based down here. But anyway, so yeah, first question you should be asking yourself is, should you be on Twitter? Right? Because I think far too frequently, and we all will have been there, we all have seen this, where you kind of feel the urge you ought to be doing these things because everyone else is. And it's like, I need to be on Twitter because everyone's on Twitter. I need to be on Twitter because everyone who does marketing podcasts is talking about Twitter. That doesn't necessarily mean it's the best place for you to be on Twitter. And in fact, actually, sometimes the most intelligent decision in social media marketing is what not to do rather than what to do, because your time is a finite resource and there's only certain things that you have the time and resource and capacity to deal with. So should you be on Twitter? Now, the questions I think people should be asking themselves if they're kind of trying to make that decision is, first of all, monitor the channel first. So you know, maybe set up a trial account or a personal account before you kind of go full blown and start to kind of use the site and see, are there kind of conversations taking place around your sector? Then try and understand what your customers are saying about you. So are these conversations already taking place? Now, how would you go about doing that? I'll go into a bit more detail in a minute, but things like the search tool is a good place to start there as well. Now, my third tip there when thinking about it is look at what your competitors are doing. I've said you shouldn't go on Twitter just because they are, but if you're starting to head in that direction, understand the different approaches that they're using on Twitter, because that might help inspire you and, you know, help you make that decision. So are they using it to promote their content? Are they using it for customer services reasons? Are they using it to build relationships? Are they using it to pitch to journalists? All these types of things. And try and understand how they're using it, because that might help you decide how you could use it as well. Also, don't be afraid to experiment as well. I think one of the common issues I've seen is that everyone will spend several days working on a super duper extensive Twitter document, coming up with a strategy, and spending all this time kind of thinking and strategizing and all these types of things, when actually if they'd spent that amount of time just experimenting and trying things out, they probably would have learnt a lot more and probably ended up with a better result there in the end as well. But having said that, with kind of promoting and suggesting people experiment, I do think before you kind of get too stuck in, you should think about what your objectives are and what you want to get out of Twitter particularly, and try and set some goals. So they can be goals connected to Twitter. So perhaps that's the kind of, I want to get to 1,000 followers, say. They're not the best kind of goals, I don't think, really, but they're a good place to start because they're easy to measure and they kind of give you a sense of momentum as you're making improvements towards them. But actually, you're better off, more likely, having goals that are of the kind of, I want to get 25% of my referring traffic to my site to be from Twitter in the future.
More outcome goals than sort of followers goals.
Yeah, I mean, and even the one I suggested there, you know, more traffic from Twitter isn't really an outcome goal. It should actually be, should that be leading to less customer service inquiries or more sales or those types of ones? And I think that goes generally, really. If you can set yourself a goal before starting to use these tools, you tend to find that you might not always meet that goal, but you're more likely to make more progress than if you're kind of going without a direction. To have a kind of finish line in mind, I always think and have always found that helps you achieve your goals much more successfully. Now, what I wanted to do, and this is kind of hopefully for people who've maybe heard of Twitter, aren't quite sure how they could potentially be using it. I'm going to be talking about some data here that eConsultancy.com. They did a survey not so long ago, and they asked organizations, you know, their eConsultancy is a website aimed at digital marketers. And if you've not seen it before, well worth checking out eConsultancy.com. But they did a survey of their readers and asked them, does your organization use Twitter? And I think by understanding what the ways that other people have been using it, if you are a little bit skeptical, which I imagine some people listening are, you can understand some of those reasons. So 72% of the people that responded said it was to publicize new content. And that's the way that I think most people tend to see Twitter being used.
So that's the way I use it.
Yeah. So is it to share a new podcast you've produced, or share a new blog post you've written, a new white paper, a new email, a new product, you know, that type of thing. 68% used it as a marketing channel. Now, I think that's kind of in terms of when they were putting together the survey, that's kind of quite a wide sector, but I suppose that's about generating leads, generating inquiries, and generating sales. So, as we were talking about, they're good objectives to measure. And 68% of people that are using Twitter for their organization, that's one of their main goals. So they're the main two. They make up the big chunk. It's publicizing content and marketing channels. The next big section, which got 55%, was brand monitoring. So it's seeing what people are saying about your organization already. Now, I know we get listeners from huge organizations. I know we get listeners from tiny companies and one-man bands. The size and number of customers you've got is going to have an impact on how many people are having conversations about you online. But don't think just because you're not a large organization that people aren't talking about you on social networks. So that's a kind of very good reason to be using Twitter, to see what people are saying about you and potentially respond to them as well. And that kind of follows in a little bit into the next suggestion, which 37% of people came up with, which was gathering customer feedback. So customer service and the like there as well. Also, I think it's worth thinking about here that you can also kind of do some market research off the back of that as well, which actually comes in. So it's like 23% of the organisation is using it for market research, which I think is interesting. So you're seeing which of your products are your competitors talking about, or what concerns do potential customers of yours have. So say, for example, you're a wedding photographer and you go on Twitter and see lots of people are asking a particular question about, can you get digital copies of your images when you get married? Then you then know, as a wedding photographer, that actually maybe that's something you should be talking about on your website, or it's a service you can add in, you know, that type of thing.
So you're finding the hot topics effectively.
Yeah. So you're kind of looking at the common objection, so kind of going into the world of sales, a big thing about sales is knowing what the objections are to your product or service and having a good response for them already prepared. And Twitter can be a great way of doing that. So in between gathering customer feedback and market intelligence, there was 35% of people that was reacting to customer services issues and inquiries. So kind of similar topic there as well. So if you look at customer feedback and customer service, that's a big chunk of what you've got there as well. And I think now how you go about doing that is complicated. I've seen quite a lot of customer service Twitter accounts that are just a please ring our customer service helpline. Now, I don't think that's effective, but you know that's kind of part of it as well. So just to round off some of the other ones that got less than sort of 21%, sales channel, help product development and innovation, HR, which is an interesting one as well.
Human resources.
Yeah. And then the others were none of the above or others. So
does that add up to more than 100%, Kelvin?
Yes, because potentially
there's overlap.
Overlap. So yeah. I could publicize new content and marketing channels. So yeah, I think it's like probably about...
I was trying to keep a tally and then I was thinking I'd suddenly become very bad at maths.
No. But it's, yeah, I think it's probably well over a couple 100% there. But that's the kind of idea there. So that's some of the ways that people are using it. So if you've been a bit skeptical, you're not sure about why you should be using Twitter, the ways which other people are using it is to publicize content, to market their service, to monitor what people are saying about them and to learn about their customers. So all very valid reasons to use the service, I think. Now, a kind of a follow-on from that survey and that data, they also kind of asked some for the punters, so the people who are on the other side. They did a survey related to that e-consultancy. And this is part of their Twitter for Business report. And they found that over half of consumers, 52%, now follow brands and companies on Twitter. So I think that's really important to note because a lot of people are sometimes a bit skeptical that on, you know, social media networks is like, yeah, that's brilliant, but I don't want to follow any companies. Why would anyone want to follow any companies? They just use these tools to talk to their friends or follow celebrities. Well, over 50%, only a little bit over 50%, 52%, but are following brands and companies and listening to their messages that they're sharing. So showing that there's kind of clearly quite a lot of potential there as well. And another really significant percentage of people, 47% of the consumers, reported that they were using their channel to keep informed of latest offers and discounts. Now, if people are using it to keep aware of your company discounts, so if you're an online retailer, I think is probably the best example of this, and you're doing a 10% off or a free delivery, 40% of people are using Twitter as a means of getting that information, more so perhaps even than email now. So that's interesting, particularly if what you're using Twitter for is that to generate sales. So if people want to hear about discounts or offers, they want to hear that, you can provide them, they're the people who are going to convert into sales there as well. So, you know, that's one of the main reasons that people would follow a company. A little bit less popular is to keep up to date with the latest news from a brand, which I think is interesting there. So if you kind of go back a step to where we were looking at why companies are using it, most of them are using it to share their content. But that's not the main reason people follow companies. They follow companies for the discounts and offers. So kind of a bit of an imbalance.
That's a real eye-opener, actually.
Yeah. So that's kind of worth thinking about. If you're just using it for your news, and actually people that want it for, discounts and sales is perhaps one. And I think that's worth interesting to think about across all the social networks is that discounts are a big part of the following friendship and all the liking that you get on social networks as well. And finally, 32% are just simply fans of the company, which I think is kind of quite revealing that you kind of there are people who just want to know what you're up to and don't really care what it is, which is, you know, pleasing as well. So they then asked people if they'd actually given feedback to an organisation through Twitter. So they'd made a customer service complaint or praised them on something or just kind of, you know, responded to them. And 2/3 had received a response from the brand, so 66%, but 1/3 hadn't. Which, on the one hand, is sad because it's a missed opportunity, but also I think it's quite pleasing that people are, you know, companies are being successful enough that they are responding, that they are monitoring.
Did you say that's making complaints to brands?
Of the people who had made a comment about a brand.
Right,
so it's not 66% of people had made a complaint. It was more sort of the people who had complained, 66% got a response.
Oh, I see.
So kind of important to make the distinction between the two there, which is kind of, like I say, on the one hand, really impressive that these brands are that aware of what's going on, that they're responding to it, but also there's a 34% of these people who have made a customer service feedback, or given feedback, sorry, not necessarily customer service feedback, got no response whatsoever. And presumably those people, rather than just kind of in general making a, you know, moaning about the trains, they actually,
I bet I can guess why they didn't get a response.
Yeah,
because the people weren't monitoring it properly. Yeah. You've got to have something set up, like an email alert or something, I think.
Yeah.
Or someone's constantly looking at it.
Yeah, and that's it. And that's, but yeah, so you're entirely right. That's why they will have been missed.
Mm.
But I'm kind of quite impressed that 66% are monitoring it properly.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So, yeah, next sort of step, really. Who are Twitter's users? And I think it's important to try and understand who the people are who use Twitter. Twitter's perhaps got a slightly different reputation as being a little bit more geeky than like Facebook or LinkedIn is. So, you know, survey from just over a year ago found that 48% of the users are men and 52% women, which perhaps might be a little bit surprising, that even though the split's only ever so slightly in one direction. They found a slightly different number, that 25% of people follow a brand. So that's worth noting, that there is a distinction. They were saying 50% of people and 25% of people. 60% of them are located outside the US as well. So I know we get a lot of listeners from all over the world, and some of them might be a kind of, yeah, Twitter's great, but it's only used by Americans. That's simply not the case there as well. Really important stat that they found is 37% log in via a mobile device, right? So that's not the majority, but a significant proportion of the people who use Twitter are using Twitter via their mobile. Now, what does that mean? Well, what that means is that if you're doing what most companies are doing, if we go back a couple of steps, which is sharing their content, sharing their news, and 37% of the people are using a mobile phone, how does your website look on a mobile phone? Most websites, particularly like content, so like blogs on websites, look absolutely terrible on mobile phones, are really difficult to read. So that's something you really need to be thinking about if you're doing a, if you're, you know, rolling out a Twitter marketing strategy to promote your content, to promote things that you're sharing. Have you got a flash video on your site? And then, you know, Apple users can't use it. Have you got a, this was a great one actually I used today. It was a fair play to the, I won't name and shame, but the organization had a mobile website, which is, you know, great step, you know, so it looked pretty good. So they'd formed a narrow kind of, what's the word? You know, iPhone-shaped.
Yes, a page website. Format, yeah, suitable for mobile.
Yeah, suitable for mobiles, which is brilliant. So I was scrolling down, it had big buttons, and then they had a map. So it was for a course, right? And they had a map of where it was. Then when you got to the map, and you then scrolled again with your finger, you were within the Google map at that point, so the map moved. So I kind of had to find the like 3 or 4 pixel gap round the map to kind of get past it rather than just keep moving through the map. So
you were sliding on the map. Yeah, your finger was sliding on the map, yes.
But yeah, so you know, beyond the point there, which is not all mobile sites actually work that well on mobile, you should be thinking about it. And things to think about with mobile websites, something I've been looking into a lot recently is the idea of responsive web design. So that's where you have one one layer. So rather than having a mobile website like m.domain.com that you redirect mobile users to, you in fact just set your CSS up in such a way that it works on different... So the same design works on different screen resolutions. So if people are interested in this, go to the brightonseo.com website. If you're on your desktop and just narrow, you know, pull the window and make it smaller, and it'll eventually change to an iPad format and then to a mobile phone format.
What, just dynamically?
Dynamically.
Like, wow.
So I'll show you that later, Andy. You might find that quite interesting. But yeah, people do check that out as well, or check it on your mobile, check it on your tablet, and then check it on your desktop. And you'll see that that's not different mobile versions of the site. That's just the CSS being responsively designed. And that's all to do with you, rather than making things 500 pixels wide, you make it 75% wide. So have a look into that. We'll probably do an episode on that in future, actually.
And also for WordPress users, there's at least one plugin that will make your site mobile compatible. Sounds like a bit of a big ask, but apparently it does work.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I will say is about some of those WordPress plugins, there's one like WP Touch, I think, which is probably the most famous one.
I think that's
one
I was thinking of, yeah.
Which really good, because they can instantly, in a matter of minutes, make your website mobile friendly. But what it does then do is make your website look like every other mobile phone website, which is good, but you know, it's kind of weighing up the options on that side of things. So a big chunk of Twitter users are using mobile devices. So if you're doing a Twitter campaign, you've got to be pointing people towards content that they can use on their mobile phone. And finally, 52% of the users are updating their status every day. So Twitter is this addictive website that people use very, very frequently. So you can't, unfortunately, in the way you perhaps can with Facebook and LinkedIn, just update it once or twice a week. It's more of that kind of, you've got to be doing it multiple times a day to get the real value from it. So what should you be tweeting? Now, that'll vary from, you know, completely depend on what the type of business that you are. Various studies have found that the highest click-through rate on tweeted links occurs between 2 and 3 p.m. So if you're
local time, presumably.
Local time, yeah. You know, so if you want to share something, that's a good time to do it. It's also worth noting that probably because it is the best time to share it, a lot of people will also be doing the same, but, you know, bear that in mind. And in terms of days of the week, Thursday, Saturday and Sunday have the highest click-through rates.
Thursday, Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, and that's deceptive, right? Because most people would, you know, and this is true, Twitter gets the most use during working hours. But in terms of people responding to your calls to action, Thursday, Saturday and Sunday work well. Now,
I'm surprised it isn't Friday.
Well, I think so as well. But I think that probably is that Friday is probably kind of pulled out because of the additional usage, if you see what I mean. So click-through rate is kind of, people probably click on a lot of links on the Friday, but there's also a lot more tweets.
Yeah,
so there's a lot more
tweets. So the percentage might actually be down slightly.
Yeah. Which I'll come to in a second, actually. But yeah, and so it's interesting the weekend there. So even though you might not be in the office or working on your campaign, Saturday and Sunday can be a really good time to be using your Twitter account. And why is that? That's because there's less tweets going on. So actually, the problem often is that your tweet drops because people are following so many people. If your tweet is more than 5-10 minutes old, it's already dead. Whereas the weekend, you kind of get a lot longer life on a tweet there as well. Also, and this is, I think, really interesting as well, the more links you tweet, the less likely people are to click those links. So you can use your Twitter account too much.
If you like every 10 minutes or every hour, you keep pushing the same link out.
Yeah, and I think even just links generally. So if all you ever tweet is links to your content, or even just links to other people's content, people are less likely to link than if one in three of your tweets is a link.
Okay.
So consider that when you're setting up your Twitter account as well, and also tweets that include links are far more likely to be retweeted, so shared on with their followers, than those without links.
Okay.
Which is just kind of a general trend there as well. But this ties back to what Andy's saying here as well. When we're talking about expectations of when people were going to click links through. the actual period when people are most likely to retweet, so share content, is on a Friday at 4 p.m. on their local time. And also Monday afternoons tend to do quite well as well. So I think that's probably a part of it there, that on Friday people are less likely to click through, but they're more likely to share. So, and this will vary and be different for everyone, but hopefully some ideas there to think about as well. So if you want people to click on your links, try and do it between 2 and 3 p.m. Consider going Thursday, Saturday and Sunday. Don't only share links because people don't click them as frequently. And if you want things to be reshared, Friday can be a good time to do that, particularly in the afternoon.
Kelvin, I have a question.
Yes.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
I think it's a good question. Okay, so we talked about business people using Twitter for sort of gathering feedback, etc.
Yes.
Amongst other things. What about if you're quite a small company, maybe it's only you, or maybe you and one or two other people. Yeah. Do you think it's a good idea to separate kind of like personal opinion type tweets from businessy type tweets? See, I've heard this, and like, there seem to be two schools of thought that I keep coming across.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that there's two schools of thought, you know, suggests that there's no definitive right answer to it, is the first one. And I got asked exactly this question at Christmas by a friend of the family, you know, kind of a relative, who kind of had a similar question. Well, should I have a personal account? Should I have a work account?
Yeah.
My opinion would be is if you genuinely, hand on heart, completely believe that you can maintain two separate accounts, which are fully maintained, have their own personality, have their own followers, and you're not going to cross-post content between the two because that's all you can think to write, then go for two separate accounts. But if you can't, and you're a real person, you've only got a limited amount of time to be doing these types of things, one account can be a lot better.
Mm.
So it's better to have one amazingly maintained account than two averagely maintained accounts. What's more difficult is if you can maintain those two, what do you then do? I'm a big fan of kind of personal people having their own personal profile. So I don't have an account for Brighton SEO or for the Internet Marketing Podcast. Mm. I just have a personal one. But equally, we do have a site visibility account because there's things that you know, my followers wouldn't be interested in, or, you know, there's kind of more professional stuff that they would want to share.
And who's like that maintained by? Just a group of you?
There's a group, yeah. I mean, there's a group of people involved, but we do have a specific kind of responsibility with certain people, which I think is important to do if you're kind of going down that kind of group involvement, because I've seen a lot of 8 people responsible, no one doing anything. That's what you've got to avoid.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, to kind of finish off now, just the one tool that I really recommend if you're thinking about setting up a Twitter campaign is to use Hootsuite. It's really good for scheduling. It's really good for monitoring. It's really good for using as a general tool. But what I would say is there's thousands of Twitter tools out there. We've done previous episodes on them here, and we've done videos on the, you know, the premium podcast as well. But don't worry about them. You can spend hours and hours using the tools, and they might save you a bit of time.
Mm.
But what you'll probably find is you'll spend 2 hours researching it, and then it won't save you 2 hours' time. So, you know, I would just say, start with, get the Twitter app for your mobile phone, get Hootsuite for your desktop, and get stuck in.
Do you prefer Hootsuite to just the normal Twitter interface?
I use TweetDeck, like, personally for, like, my own use, and I don't manage too many kind of additional campaigns, but the guys in the company who do, you know, swear by Hootsuite.
Sure. I must go back to it, actually, because I've got a Hootsuite account, but for some bizarre reason, I stopped using it. I don't know why. I just went back to the normal Twitter website.
Well, it's got... The Twitter website itself has got a lot better, which helps, helps, you know, make it that much easier to use.
But the thing about Hootsuite is that you can watch... You can actually have several windows open, can't you? You can sort of search for certain things.
Yeah, so you could, you could see who's talking about... So say, I don't know, I'm a coffee shop in Brighton. I can see who's talking about coffee, who, you know, uses the word coffee and Brighton in a tweet at the same point in time, and see all those people who have said that. Or I can say, okay, well, I can set up a stream just of all the other coffee shops in Brighton and see what they're saying as well. You know, it's really, really powerful. So yeah, hopefully that's a real sort of good crash course in Twitter. So yeah, think about the times you're tweeting, because certain days of the week are going to have much better results than other days of the week, and test that, and certain times of the day are going to have better success than others. Think about who the users of Twitter are. It's you know, more diverse than perhaps you realise, and a lot of them are on mobile phones, so therefore you need a mobile phone website. Also, people are following brands on Twitter, but the reason they're following them is mainly about offers and discounts rather than necessarily news about your company. So consider that when you're putting your content together. And finally, before you even go too crazy on Twitter, really ask yourself the question, should you be on Twitter? Because the answer might be no.
A lot to think about, Kelvin, but good information.
Hopefully so. Hopefully so.
I'm glad we did that. So that wraps it up for episode 153. Thank you very much for listening. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.